Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Let us turn to the Heavenly Father. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, in prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, Thou who knows our every need, Thou who has cared for us unto this day, we ask, dear Father, for Thy presence, even at these services which Thou hast granted unto us, that Thou would open Thy word unto Thy weak servant, that Thou would give us hearing ears and a comprehending heart, so that our undying soul would be fed, nourished with Thy everlasting word. Dear Father, we thank Thee this morning for the many blessings that Thou hast so abundantly bestowed upon us. All of these earthly blessings that we have taken so often for granted, we know, dear Father, are from Thy grace, from Thy hand. And so, dear Father, we bring our humble thanks unto Thee. But above all, we thank Thee for that greatest of all gifts, that name of a child of God, because Thou hast not withheld Thy only Son, but gave Him to suffer and die for our sins. For this, dear Father, we cannot find adequate words of thanks, but we bring our humble thanks unto Thee and ask, dear Father, increase our faith, that by faith we can hold on to that precious hope of eternal life through Thy merits of Thy Son. All of this, dear Father, we ask of Thee in the name of Thy Son. And yet we ask, dear Father, that as we want to remember those who are not able to gather together with us, that Thou would uplift and comfort and console them in their places of watching, whether they be serving the country in the military, or if they are homebound because of illness or other reasons. Dear Father, we want to remember them and ask that Thou would give them strength to continue in this battle against the threefold enemy. And yet, dear Father, we want to remember those also who yet walk in the darkness of this world, those dear ones who have been deceived by the enemy of the soul. Dear Father, give them an awakened conscience to seek Thy kingdom, that they could also, with us, live in this hope of everlasting life, enjoying this peace in the Holy Spirit. All of this, dear Father, we enclose in that prayer that Thy Son has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we have received the grace of God to gather together this morning, the second Sunday in Lent, and as one of the texts for this Sunday is found in the Old Testament book of Psalms, I would read from the 25th Psalm, the first 10 verses, and we hear the following words in Jesus' name. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me. For Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait, all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Amen. First of all, I would like to relay greetings from, first of all, from Brainerd, but also from my wife, who was a little bit under the weather and could not come. And as a matter of fact, last night at HAPS, we meet at HAPS there in Brainerd, and the ladies unanimously told her to stay home. So she regretfully had to stay home, but sent her greetings. And greetings from the other children of God there in Brainerd. And I promise to bring those greetings. When we think of this psalm is a psalm of David. And you Sunday school students, along with the parents and the elders, all remember this David. This David who was that shepherd boy. We remember, for instance, when Samuel was sent to anoint the one who was to be anointed by the Lord. Samuel went to the house of Jesse, David's father, and Jesse called his sons one by one, starting with the eldest. And Samuel said each time that this was not the one that God had chosen. And then finally, Samuel asked that, is there any more? And Jesse said, well, there's the youngest who's caring for his sheep. And Samuel said to call him. And when David came, Samuel anointed him. He said, he is the one that the Lord anoints. And then as we follow David's life, we remember how he fought that giant Philistine. He slew him. And we remember that Philistine came with all of his weaponry and armor and so on. He was a mighty man. And David, as a shepherd boy, went only with a sling and three stones. And David said unto that Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to thee against thee in the name of the Lord. And we recall, and you Sunday school students, I'm sure, are very familiar with that, how David slew that giant Goliath. And then further down the line, we remember how David was anointed king over Israel. But then we remember also how David, when he was a king, he fell into sin. He fell away from faith. He was deceived by the enemy of the soul, and he hardened his heart and conscience to the point where sin no longer was sin unto him. And we see, when we recall that part of Scripture, we remember how God did not reject David. But he sent Nathan to talk to David. Sent Nathan to speak to David of his fall and to encourage him unto repentance. King David heard what Nathan spoke unto him, and he humbled his heart unto repentance, and again became a child of God. When I think of this, I think of how it was in the day of Moses, when Korah and his people stood against Moses and against the will of God. Moses was the chosen one of God, and God spoke through Moses, spoke of what God wanted the people to do and say. But Korah did not want to listen. Korah wanted to reason with his own mind how it should be. And thought that Moses is taking too much upon himself to lead the people. We remember how the wrath of God came to be, and how the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and his people. But then we think too back to more recent times. We remember that last heresy that departed some 40 years ago. How there were those Nathans who went to speak to those who were fighting against God's kingdom. They, just like Korah, would not humble their hearts unto repentance, but trusted in their own ideas and thoughts. Even some thinking, well, I've been believing so many years, who are you to tell me that I am not correct? But they would not humble their hearts, and therefore departed from God's kingdom. Now when we think of David being approached by Nathan, here was a king who had power to send troops to war. He had power to put people in jail and so on and so forth. He had a lot of power being a king. And certainly when we think of Nathan's place when he was told to go speak to this king, we can imagine how he must have been nervous and trembling at the very thought. And yet he was obedient to what the will of God was. David had the hope of eternal life, so he wanted to hear what God had to say unto him. And he humbled his heart unto repentance. That is a lesson for us also, dear brother and sister, young and old alike. That when God sees that we have, as he saw David had fallen from faith and had become lost, he sent his messenger to speak unto David, to awaken him. And so it is also for us, that when God sees that we need to be corrected, would we need to be helped along this way, that we need to do, even as when we think of those letters to the seven churches of Asia, we remember how John is told to end each of those letters. He says, hear what the Spirit speaks unto the churches. It's what the Spirit speaks. That's what Nathan spoke to David. And David heard and obeyed. Now this psalm that we have before us, it is a psalm of David. And David experienced this great grace of God. And he says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. As he trusts, he put his trust in the Heavenly Father. Where else can we put our trust? Can we put it in material things that we have here in this time? We know that all of these things that we have here, that we see with our eyes, that we feel with our hands, all of these things that we treasure, that we feel very precious to us, we know that they will all be destroyed. They will not remain. But one thing will remain, and that is that promise of God. That crown that awaits us in the kingdom of glory. That is where we want to fasten our gaze. not on the material things of this world, but on that unperishing, unperishing crown, that unperishing place in heaven that is prepared for us. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there thou shalt be with me. And this we want to keep as a priority in our heart. And I'm sure that this is what David also felt when he said, Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Yes, he didn't trust in those powers that he had, even as a king. There was nothing there for him to put his trust in. But his trust was in God. His trust was in those promises of God. And we, dear brother and sister, we also have been given those promises of God. We have been promised that one day we can see our Lord and Savior Jesus as he is. Here we see in part, as the Apostle Paul says, here we see in part and we understand in part. But one day we will see in fullness what God has prepared for us. And why can't we see that now? This earthen vessel would crumble if it was exposed to what God has prepared for us. But when this earthen vessel is lowered into the to become the dust of the earth, from whence God made it, then with a new body, which is in the likeness of our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus, then we will be able to see in fullness. Then we will be able to see what God has prepared for us. And we will be home in that eternal home which will never end, where we can be at those eternal services, where we can be praising our Heavenly Father, as now we find it so often so difficult to sing those praises unto the Heavenly Father. Then with that new tongue we will be able to sing unto Him those praises and offer those thanks unto Him. But here He says, Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Yes, we don't need to be ashamed. We have such a precious gift when we can be called a child of the living God. Oh, how often this flesh part wants to hide the fact. Oftentimes when we meet one another in a public place, perhaps we feel a little bashful about greeting very loudly or so on. We carry this portion, this fleshly portion that always wants to be timid. But here he says, let me not be ashamed. No, we have no reason to be ashamed of that name that we have, that we are children of a living God. And another thing when we think of this, when we think of the children of God, even you young boys and girls, brothers and sisters in faith, when you're there in school and your classmates are doing some bad, we could see some bad things when they are, maybe they're cheating or maybe they're being disobedient. The children of God, you don't want to be following them. You don't want to be disobedient as they are. And what does the world then see? They see that you're different. They see that you're different and they notice it. You are that light that shines in the darkness of this world. And it is that light that draws people to the dear Heavenly Father, to the Lord Jesus. And so, whether you're there in school, maybe at work, or wherever we are in this way, our actions are seen by the world. The world sees us, sees you young people, and sees all of us as being peculiar, being different. But yet, dear brother and sister, we are part of that holy nation, a royal priesthood, where we have the power of God to preach this gospel of the forgiveness of sins unto one another, and where we can turn when we have found ourselves to be encumbered with heaviness. And isn't it so that when we have erred along the way, that we feel the weight of that burden on our heart and conscience? Here in this kingdom, in God's kingdom, we can turn to a brother or sister in faith, and as John writes and says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is only in this kingdom where this can happen. It is only here where we can have that peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Why would we be ashamed of what we have when we have such a gift that has no price? And that's why David also says, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. But then he goes on to say, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Already this morning in Sunday school, you young brothers and sisters were again taught concerning the ways of the Lord. And who was showing you the way? It was our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, through His children, who were teaching what is the will of the Heavenly Father. Showing that way, that path, that narrow way which leads to eternal life. Oh, how we need that instruction at every age and every day along this way. Because we are so slow learners and so quick to forget. And we are, don't we find ourselves, even as the Apostle Paul lamented, that the evil which I would not do, that I find myself doing, but the good which I would do, that I do not. And because of this, we need that instruction. We need to hear what the Spirit speaks unto us. And then he says, lead me in thy truth and teach me. And that is the teaching that we receive in God's kingdom. When we think of this precious kingdom of God that we can be part of, it is pictured as the mother. We have a mother here upon this earth. God's kingdom is our mother. We have a father in heaven. And when we think in a natural sense of the mother in a home, we know that the mother is often instructing her children. And when the child hurts themselves, maybe stumbles or scrapes themselves, what happens? That child runs to the mother to be helped, to be soothed, to be comforted, and perhaps even to care for that hurt. Maybe it needs some ointment so that no infection sets in. This is what the mother does, a natural mother does. And this is what our spiritual mother does also. That when we stumble and hurt ourselves, this mother cares for us. And when it is so that some ointment is needed, it is that precious blood of Jesus which flowed on the middle cross of Calvary, which we receive in that gospel, when we can believe sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. It is that ointment that is able to care for those wounds that we receive along this way. For as we walk along this way, how can we walk without transgression? How can we walk in such a way that we could be faultless along this way? Oh, we are faulty. We are faulty people, but as faulty people, we are dear and precious to the Heavenly Father. That's why He sent His Son. As Jesus says, He didn't come to help those, to heal those who don't need a physician. No, He came to help those who are poor, weak, sinful people along this way. Those who were not able to do good. He is our goodness. He is that good which we are not. And when we put our trust in Him and continue to put sin away, live of the gospel, putting sin away under the name and blood of Jesus, washing one another's feet even as Jesus instructed His own. We remember when He established the communion, the Lord's Holy Supper. We remember that that after He had served the disciples with the bread and the wine and said, "This is my body, this is my blood which was shed for thee," that then He girded Himself and He washed the disciples' feet. And He said unto them, "As I have done unto you, so do ye one to another." And when we think of that washing of feet, it is washing away that sin which always does cling to us as we walk along this earthly journey. But when it is washed away, it is so, even as Jesus told Peter, when Peter had told Him that you won't wash my feet. And Jesus told Peter that unless I wash your feet, you will have no part with me. And Peter says, "Well, not only my feet, but wash all of me." And Jesus says, "You only need to have your feet washed." Yes, we need only to have that sin put away, which bothers our heart and conscience. To put away that sin, which is a burden unto us. Jesus says, "Bring all your burdens unto me, for I have paid for them on the middle cross of Calvary." But when we think also of this keeping, as Paul says to Timothy, to keep faith and a good conscience, we remember also the danger of one relying on the conscience. I remember again of those who departed in the last heresy. They said, "If my conscience doesn't convict me, I will not repent." They wouldn't hear it. They wouldn't hear the admonition of God's kingdom. They trusted in their own conscience. But what happened when that conscience became hardened, as King David did? It no longer warned them of the danger. It no longer reminded them of their condition. But as King David heard what God had to say through the prophet Nathan, so also, we today, we need to hear what the Spirit speaks through the angels that the Heavenly Father sends to help us. But again, Paul, as he writes to Timothy, to keep faith and a good conscience, that we don't begin to carry matters on our heart or conscience, but that we put them away under the gospel, believing them forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And even this morning, dear brother and sister, young and old alike, you can freely believe this gospel. And isn't it precious that in this kingdom of God, we don't have to consider ourselves any better or any worse than we are. But just as we find ourselves, we can believe. And you, dear brother and sister, can raise your heart to believe even this morning. To believe all sins, doubts and shortcomings forgiven in Jesus' name and in His precious atonement blood. When we think of these words that David writes here in the psalm, he says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in the truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." We know that in these days in which we live, the enemy of the soul is busily trying to deceive the children of God. He doesn't have to deceive those on the outside because they're already his own. But he tries to lead the children of God away from faith. And he tries to do this even as he did with Eve there in the Garden of Eden. That if you are disobedient to God, or you've got a mind, you can think it'll make you wise. He appeals to the wisdom, to the intellect of man. And we have seen that even in our day, how some who have departed from God's kingdom, how they have tried with intellect to understand what God says in His scriptures. But we know that all scripture is written by holy men of God, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when one is without the Holy Spirit, when one has left faith, when they have departed from faith, they may still be traveling together for the enjoyment of companionship with the children of God, but the heart faith has departed from the heart, and they have begun with their intellect to study the ways of God, and the human mind cannot comprehend what is the perfect will of God. It is only through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is only when God, through His Spirit, opens His Word that one can comprehend what is the will of God. And therefore, they, even as Eve did, fell into that temptation and fell away from living faith. So we need to, when we are in contact with such who try to explain their thoughts on the Bible, and we see that it is not according to God's Word, we need to consider where that is coming from, that we don't begin to follow such a doctrine of the flesh, doctrine of self-understanding, carnal knowledge. No, we want to stay firm on that Word, which was from the beginning. We know that the world was created by the Word of God. And we know that the Word of God will remain even after this earth is dissolved with fervent heat. And so we want to remain firm in that Word. And if somebody offers something that is not according to that Word, then we want to refuse it. We don't want to accept it into our heart, into our being. We want to consider that it is the work of the enemy. It is not the work of God. And so when he says here, "Show me thy ways, lead me in thy truth, and teach me." Yes, he teaches through his Word. The world teaches through carnal knowledge. And we know that there are those, we could say, who teach. I just heard recently on one radio interview of a college professor who did not believe that there was life after death. Just like those in Jesus' days, who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's nothing new. There are those people, and some of those people are teachers in colleges, in universities, maybe in high schools and so on. And education is good. God has given us the ability to learn, to prepare us for future, especially you young people. But when we listen to these things, and when we hear those doctrines of man, we want to remember those words of Jesus when he was given that tribute money. And he asked whose superscription is on that money. And he was told it was Caesar's. He says, "Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's." So with the mind we understand and hear with our ears what the world teaches. But with the heart, we believe what the Word of God teaches. And we don't want to mix those two together. We want to keep them separate so that the heart remains attached to the Heavenly Father. And here he says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy path, lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation, on thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. It's nothing new, is it? No, these tender mercies of God have been forever. We remember when Adam and Eve, when they fell into sin there and fell out of faith there in the Garden of Eden, God did not reject them. He was merciful. Adam heard the voice of God in the garden and asking, Adam, where art thou? Yes, he sought Adam and Eve. And he looked for them. Such was the mercy of the Heavenly Father, and such is His mercy today. We don't have to fear that we would become lost. We don't have to fear that God would not know where we are. He knew where Adam and Eve were. He knew they were hiding because of their sins. And yet He called them. And He promised a Redeemer. He promised that Redeemer which came in the flesh on that first Christmas. And who suffered and died on that Good Friday, suffered pain and anguish already on Maundy Thursday, gave his life on a cross on that Good Friday, and rose victorious on that Easter morning. And so He is a merciful God. We don't want to reject Him. We don't want to lose that precious gift that we have awaiting us. He says, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake. As David doesn't say for his goodness. No, for the goodness of God. He says, for thy goodness sake, remember thou me. Yes. So it is with us also, even as it was with David. We are sinners, but pardoned sinners. We are weak travelers along this way. But our strength is not in us. It is in our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, in that gospel which He has prepared for us. That gospel which is able to free us daily, momentarily along this way. Because we know that we sin daily in thought and in deed, but we know that the forgiveness of the Heavenly Father is unlimited. Even as Jesus answered unto Peter when Peter said, is it enough if I forgive my brother 7 times in a day? And Jesus says, I say not 7, but 70 times 7. Such is the great forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. Such is that mercy and that grace of our Heavenly Father, that He loves us so that He does not want a single one to be lost. Even as Jesus says, that when I, on that last day, when we are en route to that eternal home in heaven, He says, Father, here are those that thou gave me out of the world. I have not lost any. So even at times when you feel so poor and so wretched and you wonder, am I going to even be able to make it to the end of this journey? Because I am so poor and so wretched a traveler. Remember those words of Jesus. When Jesus says, Father, here are those that thou gave me. I have not lost any. He takes good care of us. And He is powerful. When we think of those, of that power of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we remember, and you Sunday school students, you remember when Jesus was in that boat and with the disciples, and Jesus was napping, we could say. And a storm arose. And when that storm arose, those disciples, they got scared because the waves became very tumultuous, very, very boisterous, very, very strong. And they woke Jesus and says, we perish. And Jesus calmed those stormy seas. He calmed the waters. Always he is able to calm any storms that approach us. We can freely turn to Him. He hears our prayers. We can freely turn to Him and ask for His help. He is all-powerful. And one day we will see what He has prepared for us. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. We think of the word meek. And we think of what would be the opposite of someone who's meek. Wouldn't it be somebody who's proud? And if one becomes proud in their journey, they find it very difficult to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. And here David says, the meek will He guide in judgment. So we need to travel, even as Jesus says, be as I am, for I am meek and humble. Yes, we want to remain. We want to ask the Heavenly Father to give us strength to remain as weak, meek, humble children of the Heavenly Father, so that we can be cared for. We know even in a natural sense that when a child starts to grow older and gets older, why, so often they want to get a little bit disobedient, and they don't want to listen to the mother so well. This can happen to us also if we begin to grow as God's children. We don't want to listen. We don't want to walk in obedience. That's why it's so important for us to remain as little children. And what does Jesus say about little children? We remember when those disciples rebuked those who were bringing little children to Jesus. And Jesus says, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. We want to remain as those little children. But oh, how often we find ourselves to be doubting and to be with many shortcomings. And yet, as we travel, we can still believe. We can still put away all of those shortcomings, all of those doubts which come upon us. We can put them away as sin. And again, this morning, our dear brother and sister, believe. Believe all sins, shortcomings, and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and in His precious blood. You can believe unto peace, joy, and happiness. And I ask that, can I also hear that gospel and believe my many sins and doubts and shortcomings forgiven this morning? As I want to believe. We have a precious place here in God's kingdom. There is no place else where we would find such a treasure as we have here when we can be a child of the living God. And that treasure we want to keep as so precious that it is the uppermost thing in our heart. He says here, yet in this way, that all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Yes, mercy and truth. He is a merciful God. He is truthful. He has promised that He will keep us. He has promised to be with us every day unto the end of the journey. He has promised that where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in their midst. And we know that His word is truth. So we can turn to Him in prayer. And haven't we sometimes found it to be so that we have turned to the Heavenly Father in prayer and asked for something, and even as Jesus says, to ask in secret and He will answer us openly. Haven't we experienced, at least I have, that asked for something, and sometime later at services or or at a discussion in a group, that answer has been supplied. Even for that question that was bothering me, and the reason that I prayed unto the Heavenly Father for the answer. Yes, He answers it openly unto us. So we have a secure place here in God's kingdom. We have a loving Father whose ears are not blocked to our prayers. We can ask Him and He hears us. And He answers our prayers. When we open our ears to hear what the Spirit speaks, He answers us and cares for us. So again, as we end this service this morning, we want to again remind, if there happens to be one who is yet on the outside of God's kingdom in our hearing, we want to remind that the grace doors are still open. The grace doors are open for those who would seek to enter in. That while it is time of grace, it is time to enter. For we know that time will come when those grace doors will be closed to the street. Even as those doors of the ark were closed in Noah's day, so shall it be at the end time. So as it is recorded in Scripture, today is the acceptable day. Today, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart, but humble your heart unto repentance and believe sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And so we travel here, putting sin away, living of the gospel, raising our gaze, not to ourselves or our own endeavors, but raising our gaze to that resurrected Lord and Savior who has prepared a place for us in heaven, knowing that one day He will bring us home. Until that day, we remain traveling as grace beggars here on this narrow way which leads to eternal home in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us yet close in closing prayer and benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, as Thou hast blessed us with this moment to gather together, we ask, dear Father, that Thou would continue to bless Thy word. We ask that Thou would continue to care for each and every one until that day that this life ends and we face changes to see. All of this, dear Father, we ask of Thee in the name of Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. And we say, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.